Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. That's the NIV rendering. In fact, that's the first verse I ever memorized as a child, and it's a go-to verse for me and so many people. And I open up the program with that because that's the verse that we're going to talk a little bit about. It's one of Mary Jean's favorite verses. But let me start out with, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." It is Monday, June 28th, 2021. Joining me at our Springfield studio is Tim Nelson. That's the crowd noise. We appreciate Tim. And also two special guests in the studio, Gary and Mary Jean Sheets. And we're going to share a little of their love story and their passion for people and how they serve at the Harvard Park Baptist Church and Community Center right here in Springfield, not too many minutes away from the studio. So you live about 5 or 10 minutes to the west, and your church is about 5 or so minutes to the east. So you're right here in our neck of the woods, and we've been talking about different restaurants. Thanks for coming in early, because between the time to pray up the program, talk about all the various restaurants and places that Tim and I need to dine at, and then sharing some of your faith journey, and then praying up the program, asking God to use what's said and shared to His glory. I feel like we're having a little revival here. What do you think, Tim?
I think so. Yeah, just in the prayer time alone, it was something.
And Tim, this is the first time you've gotten to meet Gary and Mary Jean, but I know Mary Jean back from the days when she served at Restoration Urban Ministry in Champaign. And in 2017, we went on a trip to Israel together, a spiritual pilgrimage. So, Mary, you and I go back a few years. In fact, you were kind of being groomed and nurtured and seeing if God was going to lead you to assist in greater ways with Restoration Urban Ministries. Yet God had a different plan, so we'll talk a little bit about that love story and how you're serving people with the many gifts that you have. And we want to more fully introduce Pastor Gary also and how God called you to this area. So, Tim, what do you think of these two new friends?
I like them. There is a lot of ministry going on. Like you said, we do kind of the pre-interview. And just to hear how God has brought them together, that we'll hear about today, and also how God is working where He has them together here in Springfield right now is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There are some exciting things happening here in Springfield, and it's great to meet another couple pastors that are on the forefront, making inroads into a diverse group of people throughout Springfield here, and it's exciting to know that God's brought you together. And so before we tell a little of that love story, Mary Jean, during your prayer time and sharing time, you were talking about God's love and forgiveness and said how much that's a part of what you want to communicate to people, God's love and that He's a forgiving God, and you've experienced that yourself. So on this Monday, we're going to have it be a little of a testimony Tuesday, but talk a little about your faith journey and how you're able to connect with God's love and God's forgiveness.
Well, I was raised in a church-going Southern Baptist home. We were at the church every time it was open. I had conversations with my pastor and my parents, and I walked down the aisle and told them I believed in Jesus and I wanted to be baptized at 7. Almost immediately, the devil attacked me, and I started rebelling and getting in lots of trouble and went places that good little Baptist girls aren't supposed to ever go. And I truly believed God would not forgive me. I knew He was there. I never doubted His existence, but I really didn't think He would forgive me because the people of the church didn't forgive me. They told me to clean up my act and come back when I was straightened out, which I didn't for a long time. But I got to see God calling me through everything and forgiving me and loving me no matter what I had done. And I could see Christ on the cross saying, "Mary Jean, I did this for you. I need you to accept it so that you can go forward." That has been the case. Lots of things that I had to be forgiven for, I still find them on a daily basis. I'll do something, and the Holy Spirit will tell me, you messed up, daughter. I said, yes, sir, I know that. And I ask forgiveness. But God loves all of us so much. He calls to us up until the moment we leave this earth, because he doesn't want any of us to die without him.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting, Mary Jean, as we were all praying and we all took turns, and you referenced and referred, or when you spoke to God, I think you began with Papa. And that's a very intimate, in fact, in the Bible, I think there's a portion where Jesus is referring to God as Daddy, if you will, a very intimate, personal term. Mm-hmm. For somebody where God is maybe a foreign concept or hard to understand, how can you call him Papa, Daddy? Why is there that intimate connection? How are you making that?
I had always had Our Father, mm-hmm. the Lord's model prayer. But when we went on our honeymoon, we honeymooned in Haiti so that Gary could do a revival there. And we wanted to do a mission trip for our honeymoon. So when I was there and I listened to the Creole language, I realized they were calling what we would call Abba in Israel, what we would call, you know, Father here. It was much more intimate than that, and I switched to Papa. About the same time I switched to saying Papa in my prayers, he stopped calling me Mary Jean and he started calling me daughter. Hmm. Boy, the first time you hear God, you know, in your heart say daughter, I don't want you doing that. And think, wow, it really is. My dad was a great dad, but he was human. But we have the ability to have somebody that created the universe to care about us personally and want to just pull us up on his lap and rock us and comfort us and love on us. And he's not afraid to swat us in the behind if we did something wrong, but he's still going to love us. I grew up my whole life thinking I could sin my way out of God's love. Mm. I don't believe that anymore.
There was a message many years ago, and those that have tuned in for the past 25 years during Mark and Friends, I've probably talked about this in various forms, but oftentimes when I'm sharing about God's love, I try to find out what kind of relationship the individual, man or woman, boy or girl, had with their father. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes we'll, if you will, indict God the Father according to how our earthly dad treated us. And so maybe he was a wonderful dad, but he could have been a workaholic, so he was always absent or not around. Or maybe he was abusive verbally, physically. Maybe he was just inept in some ways. And so we tend to think of God the Father in those terms. We can't help it because we think, well, if God's my father, this is what my father was like, or my father was very abusive or very distant. So when we pray to this Father God, we pray like he's very distant. And mm-hmm. so I try to always help people understand, as you look at Jesus, he perfectly modeled God in every way. He was caring, he was compassionate, he was merciful, he was loving. And so I try to help people understand the true father nature of God, maybe the best characteristics your dad may have had, but then so much better and forgiving mm-hmm. and merciful. And so it's always really important to try to find out, because some people don't even know who their dad was,
yes.
you know, because of situations and so forth. It's so wonderful to hear that you have a healthy understanding of this loving, sovereign God who's miraculous and yet can be very intimate and tender and caring. And Gary, that's something that you get to preach about on Sunday and talk about. And we've learned a little bit off air that you attended Lincoln Christian College. But what prepared you to be in the ministry, and how do you see God using you here in the Springfield area now?
Well, I was raised in a church, little church in a little town in a little county in southeastern Illinois, West Union. Born at Terre Haute, so I'm a Hoosier by birth. Mm-hmm. I've always been in the church. And for me, my rebellion was that I was a number one rule keeper. Mm. I was always trying to please everybody. I was checking off the lists. And there's a whole group of people in the Bible that's got a fancy name, but basically they were the professional rule keepers. So my relationship with God was, you know, I'm keeping the rules. Everything's fine. But that started to break down when I went to Christian Service Camp. I went to Camp Ileana, Washington, Indiana, and that's where I realized I needed to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then 4 years later, realized he was calling me into ministry. I was one of those that would have been voted least likely to succeed. My high school speech teacher told my father I'd never make a living talking. Hmm. God's got a sense of humor. Yeah. It's almost like, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of an example of the person that you wouldn't pick, that God picked. And we talked about favorite verses. Mine's Isaiah 6:8, where the Lord says, "Whom shall I send?" And I said, "Lord, send me." And I still say that. My call to the ministry is as strong or stronger than it was sitting overlooking that lake at Washington, Indiana. My family wasn't pleased that I was going in the ministry. I couldn't understand that. My father was an elder, chairman of the pulpit committee. My mother was a Sunday school teacher, until my father said to me, "You'll never have anything and people will treat you terrible." And it was at that point I realized, and I said to my dad, I mean, I was only 16, and I said to my dad, because we changed preachers every 2 years, 3 years, and I finally said to my dad, "What have you all been doing to our preachers?" And so when he suddenly realized, I went to Johnson Bible College, Knoxville, Tennessee, because I had to get 12 hours away from home to find out who I was, not be who somebody else thought I should be. And then I was there 2 years, and then I transferred to what was Lincoln Christian College, now Lincoln Christian University. And I got the best of both colleges. If I had it to do over again, I learned my discipline at Johnson. I learned how to think for myself at Lincoln. And that's not an indictment of either college. That's just how it worked for me. And then I've always gone to a church that nobody else wanted, little churches in central Illinois, east to west. And then all of a sudden, God has a sense of humor, and he takes a country boy who's always been in rural churches and puts him in an urban setting in the middle of Springfield, Illinois. And it's working. It's working because God wants it to work, not because I'm that good.
And we're going to come back to that in just a minute, because I wrote a note about asking you to talk about how smaller churches are doing big things for God. In fact, Tim, you and I were listening to him list off all these different things his churches are doing. So we'll come back to that in a minute. But I wanted to ask you, Mary Jean, you referenced Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as being a special verse to you. And I opened up the program. It's the first verse I ever memorized as a child. And it's my go-to verse, along with others. But I just love the whole concept. But why is it so special to you?
Well, when I came back to church after all of those years and I joined a church in Indianapolis, they were in the habit of giving out a life text. And I have it on a little card in my Bible, and that was my life text. And I spend time thinking about it a lot, but I've used it the most in ministry because I have had such a... the world would say a checkered past. And I work with people to bring them out of that, to say, you know, this is what God did for me. Let me show you how to do that. I always hone in on lean not to your own understanding, because it doesn't matter if you're trying to get over alcoholism, which I have, or drug addiction, which I have, or any other of the addictions, you're always saying the same thing to somebody. Well, as soon as I figure this out, I'm going to be able to do it. Don't figure it out.
Yeah.
Just trust God. He will take care of it. Well, how can you do that? Listen to me. Just watch me for a day. And people don't get it, but they see that that's what I do. And they see God not just blessing us materially, but blessing us with opportunities, like coming here. Yeah. That wasn't even on the radar yesterday. It's just God has this figured out. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Lean not to your own understanding.
Yeah, we prayed a little bit about it before the broadcast, but I said it was kind of like a fluke, but in God's economy, it's divine appointments. What was the, you prayed, you said God.
God incident.
God incidences. I've heard different ways of framing God working the supernatural in a very ordinary way, but I kind of got this email announcement to respond to this Allegiant kind of group. It's kind of a networking group, and I just thought, oh gosh, I get all these things, but I, for whatever reason, I responded, and next thing I know, somehow I get a friend message or an invite to connect, and then you and I kind of connect, and I go, oh, that's Mary Jean from some years back when we went on an Israel trip, and she was with Restoration Urban Ministries. Anyways, through a couple exchanges, it took some time, I think, for you to reread it or whatever, and then I searched on the church that you're a part of, the Harvard Park Baptist Church and Community Center, and found a little more information. I thought, I think they're supposed to be a part of the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And I hadn't talked with you in some years, and I just thought, hey, I'm going to be in Springfield, and I'm going to just call them up. And so on the fly, we were able to meet, and here we are. And as we prayed about it, I just trusted that God was going to use some of the conversation. And I'm sure there's somebody maybe driving to work or somebody unfamiliar with having a relationship with God, that there really is a loving God, somebody behind this universe. My life has meaning and purpose. Yeah. Yes, it does. And then with you, Pastor Gary, just how God has called you, it's kind of like David. Samuel's looking over, oh, this is a good-looking, tall, strong guy. He must be the one. Nope. And, oh, this one, maybe it's this brother. Nope. Then he says to Jesse, you know, the father of all these children, do you have any other sons? Well, yeah, there's the shepherd, the small David out in the fields, but he wouldn't be the one. Well, bring him in. And so the least likely, God tends to use people that are just available. And so maybe that's given hope to somebody today as they're struggling, like, Lord, I'm not a gifted speaker. Lord, I'm not talented in this area. Hey, God has all of us being influencers in some different way to different people. And so don't ever minimize the calling God has on your life. And so that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 verse, I'll just recite it again. It's a favorite one, but I'm sure God wants it to touch somebody's heart now or resonate in their mind all day long. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't be half-hearted at trusting him, not just a bit or not just on Sunday morning. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and then, as you mentioned, Mary Jean, and lean not on your own understanding. There's many things we don't understand, we can't figure out. God doesn't want us to know. He wants us to step out in faith and to Amen. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And I love this part. In all your ways, not some of your ways, not in a few of the ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Ask him to be a part of things. Ask him to order your steps. Ask him to be involved in the situation. Ask him to line up things so that you know clearly which way to walk. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he, not you, not your friends, not the counselor, he will guide your steps. He'll order your steps. He'll work through the situation. Tim, does that kind of fire you up for a Monday?
It does. And you know what? What fired me up too, and this is the first time I've met Mary Jean and Gary, and they mentioned all these different ministry initiatives that they're involved in, and I thought, oh, they must go to, I wonder how big the church is they go to. Are they pastored? You know, it's a smaller sized church, but God works in whatever congregations are submitting themselves to him, where the Holy Spirit is alive Amen. And working. It doesn't matter how big.
Yeah, I think, Gary, you were saying, you know, 20 to 30 to 40. I mean, a small congregation. But what was that list of the different things you're involved in?
Well, we have micro pantry. That is a big part of our ministry. People can come and get food. They don't have to go, I mean, any time of the night, any time of day. Next to it is our lending library. People can come and get, as we say, the micro pantry is food for the body. The lending library is food for the soul. We also have a blessing closet that we allow people who need clothing to come, whether it's for a job interview or, you know, our homeless ministry, helping people get off the streets. We clothe them. We help them get into an apartment setting. We help them try to get a job. People give us furniture, and we furnish their apartments. The list just, I mean, you say, how do you do all of it? Well, you don't necessarily plan it. You do what needs to be done when it needs to be mm-hmm. done. And that's how God has directed our ministry. And that's just four or five different things. I know I've left out something.
And you've mentioned, too, you also follow up with a lot of those people, too, to make sure that they still get the support they need to keep standing up on their own.
We encourage them not so much. We don't require them to come to church. We don't require them to become part of the church family. But what's interesting is we love on them physically and start loving on them spiritually and emotionally. They want to be part of a church family. Our church is... We're probably the most broken bunch of people in town. We say anybody can come to that church, and we don't just say it. We mean it. And it's interesting some Sunday mornings, things that go on, but they're welcome there. And, you know, we've immersed a half a dozen of what people call the street people who aren't street people anymore. And they are vital parts of our ministry. We're training them to take over parts of the ministry. It's a beautiful thing, really.
Now, I don't know if you can be available, but might you come back for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends and share a little of this love story and how God brought you together and maybe flesh out a little more about the reconciliation ministry where you bring in blacks and whites and people from different backgrounds and ethnicity where... Your heart is to have a church that's representative of all of God's people, all colors. God delights in color. You can see it in all the variations and everything that he created. And so maybe on tomorrow's edition, we can have a little more of a testimony Tuesday and learn some of the unique things that you're doing that you desire to be a catalyst for churches and ministries throughout the whole state of Illinois, for that matter, throughout the whole world. But right now, God has you focusing in on the churches throughout central Illinois and beyond. So we'll have you back for Testimony Tuesday, and we'll share a little more and see where God's going to lead that discussion. But if you have a stirring in your heart and you're kind of wondering, gosh, I've never thought about having a relationship with God. He really does love me. I thought because of my sin, I'm far from him. Well, you are. Sin does separate us, but we have a loving God that delights in all of us. In fact, the scriptures say the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But when we turn towards God, he welcomes us and he's made a way. And if you have any questions about having a relationship with God, you can call our great friends at 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. And they'll pray with you. They'll answer your questions about the Christian faith. Can you trust the Bible? Who is Jesus? They'll spend time with you on the phone. It's a free call. And God may be speaking to you right now to call. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Tim Nelson, Gary and Mary Jean Sheets with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.